You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
Death Darts was fun!
Again, just supposed to be darts.
Oh, what do you want to play next? Mystery Murder Island? Cannonball Fury?
Or we could go have some real fun.
You mean?
I do, dear Duford.
It's time for Funzo's Fun Zone!
What's that?
Only the greatest place one could ever imagine imagining!
Where your dreams become reality, and reality becomes some crazy kind of hyper dream.
Where punch refills are free!
Funzo's Fun Zone, where fun is in the zone.
Hello and welcome back to Cartoon Afternoon for the second episode of Season 1 of DuckTales, the episode titled Day Trip of Doom. I'm one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
And I am your other host, Curtis Findlay.
And we're back. It's been a bit of a whirlwind. We've had so many episodes out in the course of a week. But
yeah, it's been fun watching, that's for sure.
It has been fun watching. And we're back to the new DuckTales. That's where we'll be for the near future as we go through each episode individually. So you can look forward to weekly episodes, we'll be like a week behind.
We're actually going to be a couple of weeks behind pretty soon, yeah. Because there's actually two episodes in the first week of October.
Yes.
According to some new information that we got this week.
So it's gonna be a little tough to keep up if we want to keep up with them as they air. So what we're gonna do is we're just gonna take our time, go through the episodes one at a time, so that we can kind of give each episode what it deserves.
Yeah.
And we're not rushing through anything.
And we'll catch up by December because yeah. they're gonna take a December break.
Cool. So with that, do you want to jump into the news?
Yeah, we got a couple of new episode titles and episode air dates to go along with them. So I'll just kind of start at the beginning here. On October 3rd, we have Escape to and from Atlantis. And then on Saturday, October 7th, is Terror of the Terra Firmians. So we get two episodes that week. And then from then on out, it's every Saturday, October 14, 21, and 28. Mm. Those titles are called The Infernal Internship of Mark Beeks, The House of the Lucky Gander, and The Living Mummies of Tothra.
Okay, so right. that carries us all the way through to the end of October, and we'll probably have a few more episodes before they break, before holidays, right? But it's interesting. Disney XD is doing this a lot. They're doing it with Star Wars Rebels as well, where they're airing a bunch of back to back episodes. They've been doing it with the new Spider-Man series too.
It means they burn through their episodes pretty fast.
They do, but one of the things is that they also play these over and over and over and over. So if you miss it on the day, don't worry, you'll be able to catch it the next day or the day after that or the day after that, because they right. just play the same things over and over and over.
So a couple of notes on just these titles here. Escape to and from Atlantis, they already went to Atlantis. So mm-hmm. it's interesting that we're already going to go back there. I wonder if Glomgold is involved in that one at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then episode 6, Terror of the Terra Firmians. We saw a mention of the Terra Firmians on Webby's conspiracy board already.
Yep.
And so we'll get to see a little bit of that. the Infernal Internship of Mark Beeks. That's the this will be the first all new villain for this new DuckTales with Mark Beeks. And then of course House of the Lucky Gander, you can guess that that one's going to be about Gladstone. And yeah, the Living Mummies of Tothra. I feel like we've seen some of that in the theme song.
Yeah.
And a little hint of a mummy's sarcophagus in Scrooge's garage as well. So yeah, it looks like we have some really neat stuff coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that definitely all checks out for me as well. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, this is all kind of expected. I think the Mark Beeks is he's meant to be like a Mark Zuckerberg type character. I remember seeing some stuff in the early promotional material about this character where he's kind of he's supposed to be like kind of like how Glomgold is one of Scrooge's rivals. This Mark Beeks guy shows up and he's this young entrepreneur type guy who quickly becomes a rival for Scrooge McDuck. And he's like with tech and whatnot. So, I think that'll be the most interesting of these episodes, but I'm also looking forward to the House of the Lucky Gander, to see how that character gets reintroduced to us, because as we'll talk about on next week's episode, Gyro got a very serious facelift, almost to the point where he's not even the same character. So, but before we get into the was that the Lucky Dime Chase?
Yeah, the Great Dime Chase.
Yeah, the Great Dime Chase. We're gonna talk about Day Trip of Doom. Here's the description. The nephews take Webby to Funzo's Fun Zone and have a dangerous run-in with the Beagle Boys. So obviously this episode aired on September 23rd, just this past Saturday, in 2017. Writer Rachel Vine and director Dana Terrace. So already, having just gone through 5 episodes of the classic DuckTales, there are two things that distinguish this episode quite a bit from those 5 episodes, and it's just in that writer and director.
Yeah, I was going to mention that too.
Yeah, and I think that that's great, because I do think that we kind of talked about this a couple of times while we were talking about classic DuckTales. Webby's character is sort of borderline. It's not the sort of thing that would fly on a cartoon show today. I don't think that you could play that character up in that way, without making her actually like a 4-year-old. In which case it's like, why are you taking a 4-year-old on these dangerous adventures? At least when they're like, you know, tweens, it's like Goonies.
Well,
they have this, right?
Yeah, exactly. When they have a little bit more smarts to get them through the day.
Yeah.
Adventure, but I mean, someone that's as young as Webby in the original show, if you were to do a character that young now, they're always like a more of a Stewie Griffin wisecracking kind of character, so you lose a whole lot.
Those characters just don't exist anymore, I don't think.
Yeah.
Having two female, a female writer and a female director, so having two women working on
the Webby-centric episode.
Webby-centric episode, I think, is a really great thing. I think it kind of gives it a little bit more authenticity in writing that character. And I know, like, we're not getting into like a feminist agenda with DuckTales here, but I just think that it just kind of there are just little things, I think, in the episode that make you once you realize that it was women sort of behind the scenes making this episode happen. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah. No wonder Webby's getting a little bit better treatment, not to mention, Beakley as well, which we'll talk about.
Yes.
So I do think that, although this is still a very male dominated cast, the female characters that are coming from the classic series definitely have been pumped up, and again, as we'll talk about next week, there are some new characters or characters that are being explored for the first time in the animated version that are definitely adding more depth and diversity to the show. So I think that that's a really great thing. I think that it's, you know, DuckTales, I always felt as a kid was for everybody. It wasn't a boy show or a girl show. It was a show for everyone. Like Rescue Rangers and Tailspin. Like, I felt like those were, as a kid, that's how I felt. And back then, shows were definitely coded boy, girl. But then Disney yes. Afternoon, with the exception of a couple of shows, really felt like it was like, this is just for everybody. But yeah, they're making an effort to be a little bit more inclusive, and it's good. I'm glad that Disney is doing that, and having a more representative staff, as well as better representations on screen. So,
totally, yep, they go hand in hand.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, do you want to get into our top three moments?
Sure. I found that Scrooge McDuck wasn't really in this episode a whole lot.
Yeah.
The focus was definitely on the nephews and Webby. But the moments that Scrooge was in this episode were just great.
Yeah.
And I especially like at the beginning when they're doing their dart gun war games. And Scrooge, you think he's going to get mad at them, but he actually stops Dewey in his tracks and is like, no, you have to... I can't even remember what he said here, but he's like,
don't how to use the scope. Don't yell at your target.
Oh, yeah, you give away the element of surprise. Yeah. That's right, yeah. And it's just like, yep, even though it's a game, he's still imparting his decades of adventuring knowledge to his nephews here. And then there's the other scene where he's taking a bath and he's like, something's missing. And then like in a flash he takes the cucumbers off his eyes and replaces them with gold. And then he's in a tub full of gold coins.
The tub was all gold coins. I loved that gag. That was so good. Cause it was such a like a sight gag sort of thing of like,
yeah,
we cut it back and forth and it's like all of a sudden it's just replaced with coins. And it's like that, it doesn't make any sense, but it doesn't need to, cause it's a good joke.
No. Yeah,
for sure. I also really loved that the opening with the war games, in particular. And this was one of the clips that was released really early on, so it kind of took away the punch in the episode. But it doesn't stop me from mentioning that I love this moment where Webby is getting way too intense, which is kind of the focus of the episode. She chases them into the foyer I can't remember which one it is, but one of the nephews is like, the foyer is the safe zone. And Webby's like, this isn't a foyer, this is a tomb. And then it cuts back to Scrooge and he's like, this is a tomb. That's classic. And he loves it. He thinks it's the greatest thing ever. I like it. I do. I really like the way that they're approaching his acceptance of this family, and that he's not a curmudgeon like he was in the original series.
No kidding, because he would get annoyed anytime the nephews were just running around the house.
Yeah, but now it tracks a little bit better, I think, because he is an adventurer, and what an adventurer would not be put off by a little bit of roughhousing and that sort of thing. So I like it. I like how it's this great through line of like when they're on adventures, he's trying to teach them, you know, this is the way, this is the best way to go about this. This is all you have to think smarter, not hard, or work harder, work smarter, not harder. Sorry. And then even outside of the adventures, when they're just playing, he's like, no, there's a lesson. There's a teachable moment. Right, and he takes that moment and imparts his wisdom, and he sort of like revels in their youth a little bit. And I think that that's a really great way to play that character off. And in fact, the curmudgeonliness has been transferred from Scrooge over to Beakley. And I think, I don't know if it's necessarily transferred from Scrooge to Beakley or if it's the merging of Beakley and Duxworth. But she's definitely the one who's like, we need to put an end to all of this, all these shenanigans. But Scrooge is more than happy to allow it up to a point. he's fine. I love that. He's fine with the nephews, but he can't stand Donald's behavior.
Well, Donald was in his personal space, so that was a big deal. Yeah.
It's a funny thing though, because it's kind of like how your parents were with you versus how they are with your kids.
True.
Right? It's like I would never would have gotten away with that.
Yeah. Totally. Well, speaking of Mrs. Beakley, I absolutely loved this rivalry that they established in this episode between her and Donald. It was just so great, great comedy there too. And I'm waiting for them to go on adventures as well, to see what Donald and Beakley would be like on adventures. But having them sparring as they were in the mansion or just out in the houseboat and stuff, it was just great. Because I think they're a really good foil for each other.
I really love how the inclusion of Donald Duck has brought in the really classic Disney Silly Symphonies type of vibe to the stories, where Donald's storyline in this episode with Beakley really reminds me of all the classic Donald Duck Chippendale cartoons. Like, especially I love all the Christmas ones. Those are some of my favorite Disney cartoons of all time.
Right.
Where Donald is just frustrated in dealing with Chip and Dale, and you'll go throughout the whole cartoon and they're rivals, and then by the end of it they always find this great equilibrium where like they learn to live in peace or discover that they're not so different after all, and we get that moment in this episode, because it's this back and forth between Beakley and Donald where they're constantly kind of like one-upping each other of like you'll follow the rules. As I don't have to follow the rules. Well, as long as you're in this house, well, then I guess I'll live in my boat, right? And it just kind of goes back and forth and back and forth. But then in the moment where Webby and the nephews have been kidnapped, or at least they've been, the Beagles think they have kidnapped them, Donald and Beakley put aside their differences and head out to rescue the kids. And when they get there, Donald goes classic Disney ballistic, right down to the thermometer level rising until he just loses it and then just demolishes the Beagle Boys. At which point Beakley is like, well, yeah, okay. I guess he can take care of himself. And it's great because it kind of ties into the fact that Donald was in the Navy, right? Like he's a bit of a soldier, right? He's a military man. So and on top of that, the story has progressed and revealed to us he was an adventurer along with Scrooge. So he's not, although, you know, the voice and the temper make him seem like he's a silly character. We've seen in both the season or the series premiere and in this episode that no, he's a seasoned adventurer as well. And I love that. I love the consistency that we're getting between episodes, that they've really decided what these characters are going to be, and they're fulfilling that. I think that they're just doing a really great job. One of my other favorite moments in this episode is in the middle of the episode. It's kind of the whole sequence from the time that they're waiting for the bus until the time that they get kicked off of it. But Webby, the boys go through like, okay, you're riding a public bus, public transportation for the first time. Here are the rules. They sort of run through it. It's like, don't make eye contact with anybody. Don't lick anything. All these rules. And then the montage goes through Webby doing every single one of the things they said not to do, including the really, really slow tongue moving towards the handrail. And I just thought that was also great. And the monkey bar, like the hand over hand on the I don't know what you call it, like the hand holder thingies on the bus.
Right.
I just thought all of that was just so great. And Webby was so great throughout this episode.
Yeah, it was a great scene for sure. It was it was nice to see just her honest, innocent reaction to being out in the open, because apparently she just hasn't left the mansion in all of her years of life.
Yeah, and we're kind of getting, we get little hints at it, at what that situation is. Throughout this episode and the next episode and as well as in the premiere. So there's more story there, and I think we'll get it eventually, but
So you've gone through your top three moments, and my final moment in this episode is actually the Beagle Boys in general. I wasn't sure if I'd be on board with this interpretation of them just based on the designs and such, which is kind of how I'm cautiously optimistic about all of the characters in this show, but the Beagle Boys were actually great. I totally enjoyed them. I kind of missed them not having their jail numbers on their shirts, because that's been a staple of theirs since the very beginning. But minor complaint, really. But their characters, even though we don't really get to meet, we don't get to know Bouncer and Burger a whole lot, but Big Time gets a lot of screen time here.
Yeah.
And basically, what he does, everything that he does is tries to get the affection from Ma Beagle. He's just reaching out for some love from her, which he never seems to get. So right off the bat, what used to be very two-dimensional characters with very distinct idiosyncrasies now have a lot more fleshed out personalities and story behind them. So I think we can expect a lot from the Beagle Boys story-wise in the future episodes.
What about behind-the-scenes stuff?
Well, there aren't too many references that I could find here. Not any specific, like, comic history kind of references, but the Funzo's, of course, is a parody of Chuck E. Cheese's and all those types of kids' restaurants, like Funzone kind of places. I just love the theme song that the boys all sang in three-part harmony every time it popped up.
Yeah.
That scene where Webby is going to lick the bus pole, you just reminded me that it could be sort of an allusion to that famous scene from A Christmas Story where the kid licks the frozen pole with his tongue.
Absolutely.
Not sure if that's a direct reference or not, but that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah. There were two people on the bus that were very reminiscent of Roxanne and Roxanne's dad from a Goofy movie. But
right.
I think they're just sort of taking inspiration from existing character models
that Roxanne those in. Character appeared in the other episode as well. We saw in both parts of the premiere she was there. So, and then Mrs. Beakley makes a reference to her background as a spy, and we're not sure if that's like a joke or if it's real.
Yeah.
And so my conspiracy theory here is that she could possibly maybe be an agent of Shush, if we know that Fowl is somehow involved here. Can't wait to see some of her backstory.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think that we are absolutely going to. One thing that I'll note, this wasn't in the episode, but it was in an interstitial in between the two episodes. And it was sort of like a little get to know Duckburg And so if you weren't watching it on Disney XD, if you were watching it like on an app or something like that, you may have missed this stuff. But this interstitial kind of goes through, it runs down a bunch of stats, basically a bunch of fun facts about Duckburg. And one of the fun facts is that Duckburg is in fact across the Audubon Bay from St. Canard.
There you go.
So I'm going to, this is going to be a bit of a walk. We got to bring up Darkwing Duck because it's an episode and I'm talking, so it's going to happen sooner or later. Those are the only requirements, is that I am on the episode and then we'll end up bringing up Darkwing. But as much as they've revealed, as Jim Cummings accidentally revealed the story of Darkwing Duck already, as it's going to relate to DuckTales, I think there's still room for Darkwing to actually be based on a real person that we just haven't seen yet, or that is, that's like sort of a rumor or myth or something like that.
Right. And so, it's kind of like how they treat Batman as a legend or a myth, and like no one knows if he actually exists and that kind of thing.
So I think it'll be very interesting to see if that plays out somehow. I can't imagine that they would set Duckburg across the bay from St. Canard, if not to eventually lead towards something like that. So I don't know, maybe St. Canard is just where they film Darkwing or something like that. But I can see a story playing out where it turns out that the actor who plays Darkwing is in fact also a vigilante at night, or the actor that plays Darkwing is basing, or like the people who created the Darkwing Duck TV show are basing that character off of a real Darkwing Duck that is in St. Canard. So I don't know what time's going to tell on that. And I think when we get to Gizmo Duck, that will kind of lead into that. And I do think that all of the foul sort of Easter eggs and that stuff is definitely pointing in that direction. And that Mrs. Beakley, you know, like that, the her being a spy, if she is, and Fowl is involved in this series in some capacity, then I think that, she has to be an agent of Shush, a former agent of Shush. And that needs to come up at some point and will. I think that they're kind of setting stuff up and they're playing a long game with this, where it's going to be like, all of a sudden there's a Darkwing Duck show that they can do that's a spinoff that ties right into everything else that they've laid out. But we'll see. Time will tell.
Okay, so the one last thing that I want to mention here. Burger Beagle, one of the Beagle Boys, has a very different look. In fact, he is pretty much the opposite of what he was in the original show, because Burger Beagle, of course, was quite fat and always ate burgers.
Yeah.
And this one, in this show, Burger is quite skinny. And so someone asked one of the showrunners, Francesco Anganis. He has a Tumblr page, and people have been asking him a lot of questions, and he's very open to answering. And so they asked, well, why was there this makeover for Burger Beagle? And so his response is this: there were a few characters in the original series whose main reason for existing was to be the butt of fat jokes. I think Doofus is probably another character that we may not see in this new version of DuckTales. Or at least if he comes up, it'll be a major overhaul of his character. He might not even be called Doofus. and he continues: either characters were made fun of by other characters for it, or their constant eating or food references were made for the audience to laugh at. This was the style of the time. A lot of shows did it. I totally get it and understand why people made those choices. It's also mean-spirited bullying that has no place on our version of the show. Not only wouldn't we do it, but Disney would never allow it these days. Rather than throw the characters out entirely, we wanted to play with them, find new things for them to do. For Burger, we pushed him in the totally opposite direction. And, as with too many things, I have a backstory reason as why he's rail thin and his nickname is Burger and why he doesn't talk. It's not a huge mystery, but an interesting tale of the Beagle Boy story that I may be able to tell somewhere someday.
Cool. Mysteries abound in the new DuckTales, including the origin of Burger's nickname. So, that's interesting. We'll have to wait and see if that shows up. That's the sort of thing that I feel like would be great for a comic or something like that. So,
yeah, I think so. It would be a good little 8-page story or something like that.
Should we check in with our junior podcasters?
So there's two things before I want to jump into the junior podcasters here. The first thing is that I want to encourage any of you kids who are listening or any of you parents who have kids to send in.
Yeah.
Now that we're into these new episodes, we would really love to hear from some more kids and what they have to say. Basically, the only two questions I get my boys to answer are what happened in the episode and what was your favorite part. And if you can get that, it takes a couple minutes. You can record it on your iPhone and email it to us. We would love to hear from a variety of different kid voices in these episodes.
The email is tuneafternoon@gmail.com.
Right. And the second thing I wanted to bring up here is, Mike, I want to run this idea by you. I want to label this section the Junior Woodchucks Podcast, and call all of our kid friends here that had sent in stuff to us Junior Woodchucks. What do you think about that?
I think that's a great idea.
Awesome. So here is the Junior Woodchuck Podcast.
Hello, this is the Junior Woodchucks Podcast. I'm Peter.
My name is Milo. Today we're talking about Dage, Trip of Doom. This episode is about Nerf guns,
adventure, tackle, and, you know, money. So the Beagle Boys, I bet you know them, they go to Funzo's Fun Zone. Except, you know, the girl duck, Webby, she ruins all the fun. All of it.
My favorite part, let's see here, Nerf guns.
My favorite part was the adventure in the place, the play area, the zone.
That's all for today. Wait, but see you next afternoon.
See you next afternoon.
We got a lot of mail from people on Facebook commenting about our last episode that we did. People really, really were happy about all five of these episodes, but really loved the fifth part especially, because, of course, it was the best part of the five-part original premiere. And a lot of comments about the music. People really liked that we talked about the music. One of our listeners, Kenneth Locke, posted on Facebook on one of the other forums that I linked to this podcast to. He said, I very much appreciate you guys talking so much about the music. Just a few years ago, I was intensely frustrated that anytime someone in a podcast, even a DuckTales podcast, mentioned the music, they were either talking about the theme song or the moon theme from the NES game. Drove me nuts that Ron Jones's work wasn't getting the attention it deserved. It was a big driving force behind my project to document what music gets tracked through each episode, which could be seen, and he links to a webisode, kenisu.webs.com/ducktalesbgm.htm. So if you can type that in there, you'll be able to see all the work that he's been doing. A lot of good research there. And then he goes on, the record label you guys were thinking of, I was trying to remember what record label put out the Treasure of the Lost Lamp soundtrack. He says the record label you were thinking of was Entrada. And I've been trying to get them to take the DuckTales TV series into consideration for years. He goes into some detail about the stuff that he's been doing, trying to get this soundtrack up and running. And I would love to see a DuckTales soundtrack. That would be such a remarkable accomplishment, I think, if Kenneth Locke is able to convince Entrada or anybody to take on that project.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, like, I would love to get soundtracks for all of this Disney Afternoon stuff, because I think right from DuckTales all the way through to Gargoyles, there's some phenomenal music throughout. I mean, like Darkwing has great music as well. But yeah, Gargoyles has an incredible soundtrack that would be really cool to get.
It would be. That one, I think, would be an easier sell than any of the other ones as well. Just knowing the following of Gargoyles and the type of people who would buy that soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And then, so we got some other mail from people about these new episodes that just came out. And so Mike Russo, who we read one of his emails in the last episode, he said, "What's going on with the Beagle Boys bothers me a little. Why bother using the classic DuckTales Beagle names if modern sensitivities about poking fun at these at the obese means Burger is going to look nothing like he used to?" And like we just mentioned in the previous segment, there's a reason for that, and we just kind of have to find out what that reason is.
I think going into the series, I think for a lot of the adults watching and listening to us, I think it's really important that you sort of take those things that you find precious about the series, whether it's the original series or the comics or however you come to DuckTales and whatever's the most important to you. I think you need to take that stuff, kind of set it aside, and let this be what it's going to be. It's 2017, and that means that things are going to be a little bit different. You got to take the good with the bad, and I personally think that this change for Burger is a positive. I do think that the reliance on making fun of fat characters because they're fat is it's two things. It is mean spirited, as we've mentioned before, as Frank Angoni said, and we read out. The other thing is that it's low hanging fruit and it's hack. So as an adult watching these shows, you should ask for better than a fat character who constantly eats so that we can chuckle at his fatness. I think that that's, I personally just think that that's low hanging fruit. It's bad comedy, and the writers on this show are way more clever than that. So they don't need it. It's an old trope that doesn't need to be relied on. So I would look at it not as them leaning into modern sensitivities, which I don't necessarily agree with either, but with that terminology, I mean. But I would look at it as them sort of getting out of some really tired, lame, lazy jokes and tropes from you know, sort of an era gone by.
Yeah, we already know that the writing on this show is really smart.
Yeah,
it's like it's sharp, it's witty, it's pointed, and it doesn't have to rely on stereotypical gags like they used to.
Yeah, like it, and the thing is that there is so much of the classic series and classic Disney cartoons and the comics peppered throughout this. They have absolutely earned the license to change some characters, especially if they're going to tell stories with those characters in the future. So, the original DuckTales series exists. You can go watch it. It's all on iTunes. It's, you know, you can find it in a myriad of places. I'm sure that when Disney gets their new streaming service up and running, that the entire series will be on there, and you'll be able to watch the classic DuckTales all you want. You can watch it with your kids. You can watch it with your friends. You can watch it by yourself. It doesn't really matter. You can go back and you can watch that original stuff. I will
over and over again.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. This new stuff is new and it's very different. And if you're going to go, then I don't want to feel like I'm like targeting Mike with this, because I'm not. This is for everybody. This is sort of a public service announcement. But if you go into this show wanting it to be the original series, you're going to get disappointed time and time and time and time and time and time again, because they have shown us in the four episodes that have aired that this is not the original series. This is very different. And some of that is good. Some of that is great. And some of that I'm indifferent to. I think that we'll have a little bit more to say on this in the next episode. But
I need to keep what you're saying in check when I talk about Gyro Gear Loose.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's the thing, is that this isn't about any one person, because this is something that...
Yeah,
like, for sure. I've been podcasting for a really long time. And I podcast about cherished... classic characters, whether it be on the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, or most importantly over on Arrow, on Quiver the Green Arrow podcast. You're dealing with characters that have long legacies and long histories, and people have personal attachments to those characters, and I totally understand that and I value that, but a new show means a new interpretation, and you have to allow the artists that are working on this show, and when I say artists, I mean the visual artists as well as the writers and directors and sound engineers and everybody, a little bit of leeway to do something new and exciting. Because I think that what they've done with Webby is fantastic. I think what they've done with Launchpad is great. The changes that they've made to Scrooge and the Nephews are also good. Although a little bit, like, they're not quite as in your face as the change with Webby. But, you know, there's going to be some changes that are good and some that are bad. And when we get to Darkwing, I have to prepare myself for this, because he's going to be very different and he's not going to be what I want. Because what I want is basically put Batman on the show. And that's really weird coming from somebody who's not a huge Batman fan. But basically, like, that's what I want from that character. And that's not what we're going to get. We're going to get a very silly, very tongue-in-cheek. He may be Batman-like, but it's going to be Adam West Batman, which is great and exciting, but not what I had in mind. So, you know, just be open to that stuff. Just be open. That's all I'm saying. It's, yep. I like I said, I deal with this all the time on the other podcasts. Star Wars fans are the worst. So Disney fans are pretty bad too. They think that they know the way that it's supposed to be, and that it's never supposed to change. You're not allowed to change anything about Pirates of the Caribbean, because if you do, it's blasphemy. But Walt Disney said something about Disneyland that I think pertains to this as well. And that's that Disneyland is never finished. It's always changing. It's always growing. And that extends to the classic Disney characters. The original will always exist. Disney will make sure of that. They will put them out on Blu-rays and DVDs and anything that makes them money. So streaming is the future. That's where you'll be able to find it. Because that's going to make Disney a lot of money. But they're going to make sure that all this stuff still exists for generations to come. But new generations deserve new stories, and you just gotta kind of roll with it. As technology and culture changes, the characters that we love have to change with it, or go away, disappear, which happens to some properties. They don't keep up with the times, and they just kind of disappear. So, I think it's a good thing personally.
So, Mike, Lucky Dime rating.
Lucky Dime rating. Okay. You know, I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna give this one 4 dimes and a nickel, and that's only because, well, I have to save my opinions on the next episode for the next episode. But I of the two, I enjoyed this one a lot. But I definitely enjoyed the second episode that aired this past weekend, a little bit more. So, but
whoa. So that means if you're giving this one 4 dimes and a nickel, the next one...
We'll have to wait and see, right?
So I didn't watch the next episode because I wanted to talk about this one without the influence of seeing the second one that aired today, or on Saturday. Yeah. So, but I'm going to give this one 4, okay. 4 dimes. And I think just the main reason is because Scrooge wasn't a big role. And when I think of DuckTales... He's the guy. So I do appreciate having episodes that don't involve him, so that we can get to know these other characters better.
Yeah,
but he should be there, I think. And well, we're also missing Launchpad. So
get used to it, because the cast is very expensive, and David Tennant probably gets paid the most. So
yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking too. It's like, how much money did they spend getting him to? They probably tacked those two lines onto another voice record.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. 4. So what is that? 9.50.
Yeah. Perfect. It's almost $10. You're almost there.
Yeah. Or almost $1. 95 cents. That's what it is. Not, it's not 9.50. 95 cents.
95 cents. Yeah, cool. Well, the next episode, as I have been alluding to, is The Great Dime Chase. Here's the description. Louis accidentally spends Scrooge's number one dime and turns to mad inventor Gyro Gearloose for help to get it back, while Dewey and Webby become entangled in a conspiracy. So lots of fun in the next episode. I'm really excited to talk about it, and we will do that next week on our next episode. But lots of fun this week, lots of fun next week. You know, I find myself really, really looking forward to DuckTales and new episodes. And we're really lucky. We're so media rich these days that that we can turn our nose up at things that I think in our youth we would have killed for.
yeah.
But only because we have so many great things. I've been watching DuckTales and the new Marvel Spider-Man on Disney XD. I watched a lot of that over the weekend, got caught up, and it is fantastic as well. Disney XD is really doing some great stuff. They're also doing some not so great stuff. Guardians of the Galaxy is really, really boring. But
I like Milo Murphy's Law. That one is quite funny.
Awesome. It's a really good time to be a Disney fan. It's a really good time to be a fan of all this geeky stuff. And it's a really great time to be a an adult who was a kid in the 90s.
Yeah, I think so.
So, cool. Well, that's it for this episode. And we will see you guys on the next episode.
See you next afternoon.
Don't forget, you can stay up to date with all the latest DuckTales news by heading to cartoonafternoon.com, where you'll find everything DuckTales and Disney cartoon related for the shows that we cover. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/tuneafternoon, as well as on Twitter at tuneafternoon. And if you want to send us an email, you can do that by sending us an email at tuneafternoon@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter. You can find me at Curtis Findlay, KURTISFINDLAY.
And I'm on Twitter at ArcWolf, ArkWulf. And don't forget that we are part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network. Head to thunderquack.com to check out all the other great podcasts in our network. And if you want to support us, you can do that two ways. First, by heading to store.thunderquack.com to pick up some merch. Or you can head to patreon.com/thunderquack. And pledge your support over there. It's a monthly pledge. As low as $1 a month gets you access to the exclusive Thunderquack podcast, as well as the Thunderquack Patreon Facebook group. So that's patreon.com/thunderquack. And thank you to everybody who does support us over there.
Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon is not associated with the Disney Company in any way. All characters, titles, music, and everything is all copyright of their respective owners. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon.